epidemic.
Brigham and Women's Hospital is a teaching hospital of Harvard Medical University. Well, they're taking down a prominent display of their past medical legends because there are too many white men. 30 portraits are being removed because they reinforce that white men are in charge. That's according to one professor. The portraits are being removed so that the medical school can put the focus on diversity. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The Washington State Patrol is looking for at least one person who opened fire on four cars driving on a busy freeway near the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport earlier this week. Take a listen to the 911 call as it came in to authorities.
Did you hear any gunshots?
No, all I heard was a pow when it went through my windshield blast everywhere.
The public information officer for the State Patrol was also asked if any of these four shootings are related.
I mean, it's indicating that it was random because none of these four vehicles had anything to do with each other except for they were traveling the same direction on the same freeway at the same time.
Golfers are in round two of the second major this year, the U.S. Open. The tournament is being contested at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, which is in Southampton, New York, which is about 100 miles east of New York. Conditions made scoring tricky yesterday, with someone actually shooting a 22 over par for their round. Mike Davis is the CEO of the USGA. He talks about why scoring can be so tricky at Shinnecock Hills.
The wind is a big factor here. And you know, when it's windy, I don't care how good a golfer you are, it affects you. You know, you have to know your trajectory. You have to control your spin. And then couple that with this sits on sandy soil. So it dries out quickly. And that's the other element of this, where when a ball lands, these players have to think about, where's it going to bounce to? Where's it going to roll to? So you couple that with great architecture, and this is a spectacular test of golf.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, we'll be back with the sports guys. We'll be here with the sports
we
guys.
We are here with the
we
sports guys.
We are here with the sports guys. Just wanted to let you know about the weather.
Which is gorgeous, Pat.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because what they had said is that it was mostly cloudy, and you came and I came in, and it was a beautiful sunny day.
Well, Pat, we just bring sunshine to the world.
Well, so what about for the rest of the weekend? Tonight, mostly clear, then some patchy fog. Starts out tomorrow morning with patchy fog, but then we should have a sunny day, which should be beautiful. High of about 84 degrees, partly cloudy tomorrow night, mostly sunny on Sunday, high of around 90. So this Sunday night, there is a slight chance of thunderstorms. And then in Monday, again Monday, mostly sunny, and then maybe a slight chance of showers. So looks like a great weekend.
And, Pat, you know, a new feature of the show, we may as well start it today, is just we pick a random spot around the country since we're doing our weather. And did you know that the weather in Akron, Ohio is absolutely outstanding? It's about 90 degrees today and sunshine and just ripe for kids to go outside and play and swim and all of that. So a little warmer than we have here, but kudos to Akron, Ohio. That appears to be a good spot to be.
Well, oh, we have a third
person joining us. We have a Bill Wolfson sighting. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good
Good afternoon, Sports Guys. How's everybody doing here?
We're doing real well, and this is the Sports Guys Show, live from Flemington, New Jersey, the studios of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, broadcast live over the internet. It is the Sports Guys, featuring Pat Schmitz, Bill Wolfson, and yours truly, John Manfreda. Good afternoon, counselors.
And all of us are here. So hey, I'm going to let
we've got a full house today and a full program, I hope.
And Bill, you can argue with me today. I was going to say on behalf of the first place Red Sox, but as it turns out, the Yankees actually have a slightly better record there, 2 percentage points ahead. But, you know, and it's that odd thing with the percentages, because the Yankees are 44-20, the Red Sox 48-22. It's hard to believe they have 48 victories already. But the Yankees would have to win. They have six games in hand. They have to win four of those six games just to tie the Red Sox. And I'll tell you, Bill, I was in Fenway, as you know, last Saturday with Allison, and we had a splendid time. And there were a bunch of Yankee fans there, and they all were almost unanimously saying, so why don't we just print up tickets now for the ALCS?
Well, you know, it's a long season.
It is long, and somebody in Houston might have something to say about it. And you never know. Maybe even the Wahoos in Cleveland might have something to say about it, although I doubt it.
Exactly. You can't start printing the World Series tickets or even the playoff tickets yet because it's a long series and a long season. And we've got a lot of good teams out there that the Yankees have to play. Fortunately, they're playing a not-so-successful Tampa team this weekend.
Yes.
I'm going to be out of town in Carlisle meeting my newest grandnephew.
Yes, congratulations to there.
Owen Riley Laird, who is probably going to end up being a wide receiver or running back for Penn State if his family has anything to say about it.
I'm sure.
But on the other hand, you know, the Yankees have some pitching problems. And everybody is keenly aware of that. Sonny Gray, as a fourth or fifth pitcher, is just not the kind of dominating guy that everybody had hoped.
Yeah, one ace. Severino is clearly an ace. He's blossomed into a wonderful starting pitcher. He's a big guy. He has a lot of velocity. He had great movement on his ball. And beyond that, Bill, and I'd like your take on this, when I see him pitch, the determination in his eyes, he is going to figure out a way to get that batter out. He will overpower the batter. He'll outsmart the batter. And that's a wonderful attribute to have.
It is. Severino was sent back down a couple of times over the last 2 years to Wilkes-Barre.
To figure it out.
Figure it out. Really learn
I think he did figure it out.
How to focus. And to learn how to not let the last bad pitch that ended up, you know, in the 10th row of the mezzanine affect him. And he's managed to do that. He's become psychologically tough in the same way I think Roger Clemens was psychologically tough. Additionally, what you're going to see with Severino is he's not afraid to throw the breaking pitch when he's behind in the count, because he knows he's got good control.
Yeah, and that's kind of the acid test. I agree with you there, Bill.
The other thing is that we've seen C.C. Sabathia have a second career as a breaking ball pitcher, but we've also seen Masahiro Tanaka go down with the flu.
Yeah, Tanaka is definitely not the same guy he was a couple years ago. Japanese player, doesn't have a huge frame. Frankly, I was always amazed at how he generated as much power on his pitches that he does, but he's a smart pitcher.
He's a very smart pitcher, and if you watch how he pushes off on the back foot, he manages to get a lot of what I call power and down leverage on the ball. He's a physically very strong guy. Yeah. Then you have Sonny Gray, who we've mentioned, and we've got an excellent bullpen. And, you know, Dylan Betances seems to have recovered his old form. Aroldis Chapman does nothing but throw lasers. We have some excellent, excellent relief pitchers.
Yeah, your starting staff's job is to get the game into the seventh inning.
Well, you don't really even need to get the game into the seventh inning with starters anymore with the Yankees. It's nice. You're not stretching your relief staff all that much. But when you have that kind of quality starting pitching and then quality relief core, you can get into that sixth inning. And remember, the Yankees also have a luxury. They hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, they lead the majors in homers.
Right, and they haven't made a lot of mistakes on the base path either.
Yeah.
Decent
defensive team. A lot of things going for them. And, Bill, we were talking about it at Fenway last week with, you know, people, how you get into it with one of the great things about attending live baseball games, you get to talk to a lot of people. And people in New York and Boston are just dying for the ALCS to come up. And to your point, you don't want to wish the season away, and funny thing can happen on the way to the ALCS, like the Houston Astros. So the other teams are going to have something to say about it. But I think, Bill, it's just wonderful for the game. It's great for America, the enthusiasm for the baseball, sport of baseball, and it just, you know, is a wonderful thing for the young folks. That there were a ton of young people in Fenway last week. Of course, the college city, and even though most of the college kids are home now, a lot of them stay for the summer. So you get a lot of young people coming together, having a good time. The bars were jammed. The restaurants were packed. We were very lucky to get in our top restaurant picks. And it's just a wonderful thing. I'm sure the same thing is happening in New York. You know, when the teams are successful.
Oh, it certainly is with the new Yankee Stadium. Center field is a wonderful meet and greet area if you're a young person and you are looking for your significant other, and hopefully they like baseball.
Looking for your significant other in Yankee Stadium. I'm not so sure about that, Bill.
Well, you're a Red Sox fan, so what would you know? The real challenge
I'd be looking to pick someone's pocket or something, more so than looking for a significant other.
We haven't talked about Citizens Bank Park yet, where they
in Philadelphia
have a tremendous center field picnic area.
Yes, and you and I have to do that. We've been to that. How many times?
We've both been there.
How many Phillies
times
games have we gone to? I can't remember. Some of them I know you want to forget because they got blasted by the Red Sox in the interleague play.
That's right.
But we have to do that.
The Red Sox are coming to town in August.
They are. They are interleague play again. That's right. They're 1 year off and they're back in Philadelphia, and we definitely have to get there.
I think that would be fun. But, you know, I think they're two weeknight games. And
I believe you're right. I think I saw that.
I think it's like August 1 and August 2.
Well, as long as it doesn't interfere with the Vegas trip in August, as you know.
Well, you're going to Vegas in August, and I'm going to be doing some serious sailing.
Serious sailing. And, Bill, how is the sailing going these days? We're finally having some beautiful weather. How is that boat of yours doing, that 34-foot sailboat?
The boat's in the water. Everything works. I'm having new electronics installed in about 2 weeks. I've been playing with them at home. I know everything works. I have to give the topsides my pre-inspection by my wife, scrub down and clean up, but everything works. Everything's on there.
Well, I can't wait to get out with you. And who knows? We may find a couple of mermaids out there this year.
I don't know about the mermaids. I think I'm getting
too old for that. Well, you promised me every time we go out, you say, John, come sailing with me. We'll find some mermaids.
John, the closest I've ever been able to find a mermaid was we were out in the ocean and we saw a bunch of dolphins and a bunch of seals. They don't qualify. First of all, they smell too much like fish. And if you've ever been up close to a seal, it's an animal that lives on fish, and you know its digestion is often suspect given what it eats.
All right, I'll give you a pass on that, Bill. Yeah. I'll go with you anyway. But mermaids or not, I'll go with you anyway.
You know, the Spruce Run is above 100% full. It's nice and full.
Well, with all the rain we've had, I don't have any doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking to take my my dinghy and my new outboard out there and give it a try some weeknight or weekend Friday night right after the show. All we have to do is inflate it and put the engine on.
Wait a minute. Bill, you want me to go out on the water? We have to inflate this thing?
Oh, it's not hard. I have an inflator. I just plug it into my
I have every level of confidence in your navigational skills and your ability to blow it up, Bill. But that does, you know, I'm not good with blow-up things. You know, that's not good for me.
I don't know about that. And basically what I look
This is a family show, Bill. Keep it clean.
I would never do anything except talk about G-rated things on the air or on the wire. But remember, John, a dinghy is simply a small boat, a tender. Spruce Run, because it's so calm most of the time, not a tremendous amount of wind, is a great place to go for an evening sail or an evening motoring around. They have a great facility and lots of little coves to explore. It's kind of a neat place. And, you know, when you have a small, light, inflatable boat, you can get it in the water from just about anywhere. You're not really limited to the launch ramp area, although I know the
Now, are there a lot of bigger boats in there? I've never been in there with you. Are there a lot of bigger boats in there that might, the wake of those boats might threaten a dinghy?
No,
is that
not
something
really
to be concerned about?
First of all, in Spruce Run, motorized boats cannot be more than 9 horsepower. Secondly, there are an awful lot of boats that are stored there, and anybody who's interested in storing a boat up at Spruce Run for the summer and using a trailer to get it in the water should give a call to the Park Service or visit the ranger's office at Spruce Run. Further, at Spruce Run, you have camping, you have fishing, you can go hiking. I'm not as familiar with Round Valley, but I think Spruce Run's a great place.
Yeah,
it's a real asset to Hunterdon County.
And you're right, that's the thing. We have those resources here in Hunterdon County, and people from all over take advantage of that. You see a lot of cars with boats and canoes and things like that.
You know, they have hiking trails. We also have good hiking trails in the Hunterdon County Park System.
Yes, we do.
Some of which I've cross-country skied on in the winter in years past, and that's great exercise. But today it's going to be real tough sledding, John.
Well, you know me, Bill. My idea of camping is the Hilton. I take right after my daughters, although the Sheraton isn't bad either, I will say
that. Well, I will tell you my wife's idea of camping is the Ritz-Carlton and
Aruba. The Ritz-Carlton, and you just came back from there, I know.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we were in Aruba. Beautiful, beautiful island. The wind is very strong. The sun is very hot. And it's very, very tempting to sail down there. And they've got some very nice marinas, one downtown, right next to where the cruise ships come in.
I remember where the ships come in, yeah.
And, you know, so if you can get past all the T-shirt shops and all the...
All the Xander Bogart's T-shirts on sale, right?
And all the places that want to sell you jewelry or other imported luxuries. You can go down to a town called Savonetta, which is just the other side of their airport, where they have a beautiful marina where they can handle a ship or boat with 12 or 15 feet of draft. It's huge, one of the largest ones I've ever seen in the Caribbean. But nice folks, good weather. We did a lot of snorkeling. We did a little bit of catamaran riding. Great, great water. It's so clear. But you know the good news? The good news I read today in the Ledger, the Barnegat Bay and the Jersey Shore waters in the ocean are the cleanest they've been in 33 years.
Really? What do they attribute that to?
Well, in the bay, they've had a whole lot of better control of runoff and pollution, better control of an awful lot of things. Plus, Rutgers University, in conjunction with the baykeepers in Barnegat Bay in Ocean County, and most of the bay is in Ocean County, if not all of it, have introduced oysters and clam beds. And, you know, these are filter feeders, and they clean the water as they eat.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we now have oyster and clam farming going on in Barnegat Bay in addition to the crabbing and all those other cool shellfish kinds of things. So having not yet had the boat out for a shakedown, I'm very anxious to see how things are. I also noticed that in a lot of the marshes, for people who like to watch birds, we're seeing an unusually large population of seabirds, like egrets and loons even. We have grebes. We have my favorite bird, they call them seahawks, not necessarily Seattle seahawks.
I was just going to say, as an Eagle fan, that's sacrilegious for you to talk about
not
the seahawks.
Not at all. We don't want Pete Carroll within miles of Philly. Ospreys. And, ospreys tend to nest on the channel markers.
Yeah.
And
You pointed those out to me before. I do remember that.
So we have to do some sailing, John.
And, we will.
What I'm looking for, though, folks, is I'm looking for people to get to squeeze as much fun out of Hunterdon County Outdoors as possible.
Squeezing fun is something we strive to do. I agree.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Bill, I'd love to join you one of these weekends, but as you know, my weekends coming up are pretty jammed the next few weeks, what with Iceland next week, and then we're encroached upon the 4th of July holiday. And there's a possibility that July 7 or 8, I may be able to sail with you.
I don't think
I have anything big on the agenda
be a perfect weekend, John. And what we might even do is go down.
How tempting.
Go down on a Friday afternoon and call in and let poor Pat suffer up here in Flemington while we go sailing around in the Barnegat Bay.
And so do the whole weekend, July 6th to 8th.
Right.
On the bay. Jersey Shore.
You know, and one of the clubs I'm in is going to start their racing season that weekend.
That's a very tempting offer, Bill.
Yeah.
A very tempting offer, but you know me. I'm always competing for the best offer I can get.
That's right.
So we'll just have to see what comes
along.
It
sure
along.
Beats practicing law, I'll tell you that.
A lot of things beat practicing law these days.
Yeah. So, John, let me ask, Fenway, is that now the oldest baseball stadium in the country?
You know, it might only be second to Wrigley Field. I'm not sure. Pat, you may know about that
because she's a
Cubs fan. Is Wrigley Fenway was opened in 1912? Do you know?
Why do I think 1919 for Wrigley? But it
so
could be 19.
So it'd be younger than newer than Fenway.
But it could be that just came popping in my head. So I'm not sure. I thought Wrigley was in fact older.
Yeah, could be. We have to Google that, but we're going to take a couple of breaks for some ads here, and we'll try to get the answer to that. This is the Sports Guys live from Flemington, New Jersey.
Okay, guys.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody! Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Okay, we're back, the sports guys, and I know they've been looking to try to find out whether Fenway is older than Wrigley.
And the answer is, I think it's incorrect, because it says 1914 Wrigley Field, but we all know that Fenway Park opened in 1912. So we may have a staggering contradiction here where Google has actually made a mistake.
Well, either that or John Manfreda has made a mistake.
So perish the thought, Pat. Do I make mistakes?
Why don't you look to see? Now go on. What did we all do, guys, without phones that told us everything?
We practiced law. That's what we did.
Surrey and
we practiced law. Now we call computer technicians all day long and complain. Okay.
Well, so they're both old fields.
Yeah, it says here Fenway Park 1912, and it's got Wrigley 1914. So that's it. The answer, I see. They were giving me the oldest names. So it is Fenway built, 1912. It is Fenway.
Fenway is the oldest.
Yep, it is.
I've never been in Wrigley Field. It's one of the places I'd love to see.
I've not been there either.
I've been in a lot of ballparks, and I'd like to see where the Astros play and where the Rangers play. They look like beautiful parks, and I can tell you that it's always a great pleasure to me to go to a football game in an old stadium, like where the Bears play.
I've
just confirmed on Google Fenway Park is the oldest baseball park in Major League Baseball. Bill, you haven't seen a baseball stadium until you've seen Progressive Field in Cleveland. It has to be the most dingy, odd-looking stadium I've ever seen in the middle of a city.
Now, why is it dingy? It's not more than 10 years old.
Well, you know, it's Cleveland. What can I tell you?
Well, this is the river that caught fire, the Cuyahoga. Remember when it caught fire in the 60s? Always a fascinating place. A lot of these Rust Belt lake cities have hit bottom and come back up. If you ever go to Toronto, it's beautiful.
Oh, but Toronto was never a rust city.
Correct.
Yeah, but
I mean, Toronto has always been a gorgeous place.
It's always been a wonderful
place. Toronto and Montreal have always been
nice places. That's true. But Buffalo is looking better. And in fact, they might even have a decent hockey team sometime next century.
Well, actually, Milwaukee at one time was really not nice looking. One of the things that was amazing, and I think not only Milwaukee, Chicago, a lot of the other cities, the industry was on the water. You know,
they didn't
even think about building museums and condos and apartments.
The waterfront property was for the mills and factories, sure.
Because as ships would pull up and
bring in
the ore and the coal to the factories, and then the factories would do their manufacturing and put it on railway cars, and off it would go.
But now, I mean, they're really, I mean, the Milwaukee waterfront, for example, I actually went to school on the lake, beautiful campus, my high school. It's a boarding school. Beautiful campus right on the lake. But either, you know, closer to downtown was really not nice, and then South Milwaukee was not nice. But
now, Pat, was Milwaukee's county, was it County Stadium, I think, in
County
Milwaukee?
County Stadium.
Is that the stadium that when they hit a home run, they used to have a beer, somebody would come down to shoot into a beer?
Into a beer
mug. Do you guys
mug.
Remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember that.
But that
was a long time
ago. I don't remember.
Remember the last time they had beer night in Milwaukee?
Well, they had
White Sox Brewers game.
What are you talking about? Beer night is every night in Milwaukee.
Well, no, but that night I think beer was like 10 cents or something.
Well, they had those 10-cent beers. Everybody got drunk and there were fights in the stands.
By the third inning, and they had to stop serving, and the cops were there by the seventh inning. I don't even think they finished that game.
You would have thought you were in Philadelphia,
yeah,
folks.
Exactly. If you
No. Yeah. Milwaukee's definitely the beer capital.
Well, I'm talking about the fight capital.
Oh. Yeah. The nasty capital.
Remember something, folks. We Philly fans have been suffering, but those Phils are doing well. They're in third place. They're having a better than 500 season.
They're certainly exceeding expectations.
And, they're suddenly fun to watch. Now, a lot of people don't like National League ball. They think it's boring. But I like watching the strategy for whether you let the pitcher hit or not. And the other thing that I really
wait a minute.
Like,
what do you mean? Whether you let
the
pitcher?
Well, you have a DH and the AL, but
yeah,
right.
Not the NL.
I was
going
to
say,
the biggest piece of the strategy is the fact that the pitcher has to get up to the plate.
Right.
And if he throws inside, he has to get up to the plate. In American League, they don't have to do that.
Right. And,
I was going to say, because I've always, growing up, we always saw the pitcher had to hit.
Right.
Sure.
Unless
right.
they were going to take
National
him
League
out.
Park, yeah.
But if you're in a National
Since,
League
what
Park.
Is it, 1973, and who got the first DH hit?
I couldn't even get to
Ron
tell you.
Ron Blumberg of the New York Yankees, whose bat is in the Hall of Fame. First hit on
Ron
opening
Blumberg.
Day. Ron really? Blumberg.
Well, I remember when he was a man.
Not Bloomberg, Blumberg.
Blumberg. I remember when he
He's
was a man.
He's the same guy who claimed, remember he was this professional hitter, and he got on the Yankees, and that's why they had him on the team, because he was this great hitter. And he claimed that in Little League he hit something like .876. So somebody went and did a little research, probably somebody with a math degree, and you have to be scared of those people, and figured out it's impossible to have a batting average of like .876, because to do that, the only PCT that computes out, you'd have to have 800 at bats and 760 hits or something like that, and you couldn't have done that in Little League. And there was an interview with him, and somebody said, Ron, are you sure your batting average was like 876 in Little League? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And they said, well, that's funny, because you need like 4,000 at bats to get that, to have that compute out. So they sort of exposed Ron Blumberg.
Well, I remember Ron Blumberg as an outfielder losing a fly ball on a full moon during a night game in Shea Stadium against the Houston Astros. And I can tell you, he was circling under this ball. I was sitting in the upper deck with my uncle, Jack, who was a huge Mets fan. And beautiful full moon, the planes are flying in and out of LaGuardia, and somebody hits a long fly ball almost to the warning track, and the ball is way, way up, it was almost like it was going to hit one of the planes. And it starts coming down, and it's coming down, and the moon is sort of near it as it's coming down. And it landed about 3 feet in front of Ron Blumberg. Now, here's a guy who you could say was moonstruck.
I suppose you could.
I suppose you could.
Well, let me ask you guys, because you know me, I'm not much in baseball. What do they call it when somebody, gets walks but makes the most runs?
You mean runs scored, you mean?
Well, because...
Or knocking in runs.
No, actually...
Circles the bases and scores. Yeah, runs scored. Yeah,
well,
that's a statistic.
Well, actually, it is really, I laugh at it because one of my daughters was the first girl on Little League in Pennington, and she had the most runs of anyone on the team because she was pretty tiny and they would walk her.
Yeah, so she'd get on base.
She'd get on base. I'm not
sure
she'd
steal a base, or maybe a runner would move her up.
Well, but in any event, she had more runs than any other kids.
She was
on
base more than anybody.
Because she was on base more than, mainly because they walked her. And of course, you know, the boys, they were not very accepting back in the day of having a girl on their team.
I remember that very well. Well, when Allison played T-ball in Reddington, and it was Allison and another girl. And the reason they disliked the two of them is because in the middle of one day, the coach, they hadn't won a game or something, that, you know, and he said, you know, I'm managing a team where the two best hitters are the only two girls on the team. And the, so the boys get very upset that Allie and the other girl were had better batting averages than they did. But, yeah, it's great that girls play. I love it.
Well, it was just rather funny back in the day.
Because I'm sure.
She would be on.
This was Sue?
No, this was the younger one, Beth, who was very athletic, by the way.
Well, but, all your daughters are athletic.
But she was, it was so funny because, you know, she got on base, I think, every single time she was up to bat. But anyway, that's, and back in the day. So tell me, how are my Cubs that I don't follow any longer doing this year?
You know, I haven't really been following them either, Pat, but I'm going to try to help you out here. Meanwhile, the Yankees are talking about bringing up a guy from Trenton, Jonathan, I'm going to try to say his name, Loaisiga. He's maybe making the next start for the Yankees. He came right from Trenton, and he's going to be playing against the Rays probably tonight. He's an excellent pitcher. He's going to be making a jump from Double A right to the bigs.
Wow.
Skipping a trip to Wilkes-Barre, and he's pitching against Tampa tonight. So I'm hoping to get there by about get home by about 7:30 and watch first pitch. Meanwhile, folks, you wanted to know about your Cubs. Well, fortunately, they're not making the world suffer as much as the New York Mets. But the Chicago Cubs, after having won a World Series, have kind of let things slide, haven't they?
Well, they had, and I didn't know if they were improving.
And that's a real shame, man. We're going to have to take a look at it. But meanwhile, we're hearing some good stuff about Sam Darnold out of the New York Jets camp.
Really?
Yeah. They finished OTAs, and now they're doing a little bit of more work. And, you know, they like the way he throws the ball. They think he could be their answer to their prayer. But the Chicago Cubs are in second place, a game and a half behind the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cubs are 38-27, whereas the Brewers are 21-27. So I think perhaps the reason the Cubs are behind a few games is they may have had a couple of rainouts, just like the Yankees had five or six already. The really strange thing is when you look at the standings, it's hard to figure out whether the Yankees are ahead of the Red Sox or the Red Sox are ahead of the Yankees. The Red Sox have won more games, but they've also played more games.
They have six games in hand, Bill, which means the Yankees would have to win four out of six just to tie the Red Sox.
That's right. And remember, when you have those games to make up, you get a lot of day-night doubleheaders, and that can really burn through your pitching staff.
Right.
So I think, unfortunately,
it's a little bit of an advantage for the Red Sox. Yeah.
Advantage Boston there. That's the problem with these early season rainouts in April and May. You may know everybody, we've had pretty crummy weather most weekends.
The good news for the Yankees, I think that a lot of those games are makeup against the Orioles. They had a whole series washed out against Baltimore. So that's three wins right there.
Well, let's hope
it should be.
It should be. I'm sure it will be.
You can never count it. That's why they play the game, isn't it?
That's true.
Meanwhile, folks.
That's right. We play the game.
Well, why aren't we really, you know, I'm still, here it is, middle of June. And
you know, you're counting the days till the NFL training camps open. Let's switch. Well, I heard you talking about Darnold. Let's get on to the real stuff. Well, the NFL.
And by the way,
you really
want
to talk about that, or you want to talk about the World Cup and all those foreigners who like to run around in their shorts and
we can
t-shirts
talk about the
kicking
French
around
Open.
Ball.
The French Open, yeah, that's right.
We've got the French
Great
Open
tournament.
Coming up. Yeah.
A
couple of really cool things. I mean, I'm not a soccer fan. I don't follow it. I've been to a couple of soccer games in foreign countries and also saw Juventus play Manchester United here in the U.S. in what's called a test match, which I think means an
exhibition
game.
It's called a what match, Bill?
A test match, which means exhibition game.
Well, Bill,
that's a nice little spin on it.
In British, it means exhibition game.
Yeah, well, Bill, I can tell you one thing.
Pardon?
Your Philadelphia teams would look like angels compared to the fans at soccer games in Latin America.
Oh, absolutely. Do you remember a few years ago when the goalie for, I think it was Argentina, the other goalie, you know, had the ball and he kicked it and he got a great kick across the midfield point and bounced in towards the goal, and the goalie went out to get it and he misjudged it. It bounced over his head into the net.
And they killed him.
And Argentina lost, and they killed him.
They killed him.
Yep. The next day.
Yep.
Yeah, nobody was going to sell that guy life insurance that night, but
no
they killed
way.
Him. I mean, that's how crazy it was.
No, it really is unbelievable. You know, I've been soccer games in Guatemala, and it was maybe I've only been once or twice because I don't think Dave would let me go back. First of all, it was not women did not go to soccer games.
No, I wouldn't think so. And, I'm not even sure they go today very much.
No, I probably not. But they're just unbelievable.
So back to the NFL. When did training camps open? July 15, around there?
Well, I think it's July 20th.
Okay.
I know.
Oh yeah, God forbid those players have to show up early and exert themselves in the heat.
Well, you know, I think you're going to see some real difference because you know the Eagles are talking about organizing informal activities among the players themselves prior to the official.
Well, that's been Brady. Brady has been doing that for decades.
Yeah.
I think actually all of these guys today, I mean, this is a 12-month,
year no question about it.
That they're working out. That
exactly.
They're really, you know, gone is the day, and especially, of course, baseball, you know, where those guys would be.
Oh, they'd be totally out of shape until they
absolutely.
Got to Florida in February. That's
well, right. And somebody like Babe Ruth probably never did get into shape.
Probably was never in shape.
And, but just showed you how talented he was.
Well, that's exactly right.
And look at Mickey Mantle. I mean, you
same
know,
thing.
Those guys.
Mantle said if he didn't drink, he could have played 8 to 10 more years.
Well, and remember, Mantle, Ruth, all those guys, their idea, you know, as performance-enhancing drug was bourbon.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you've got... That just shows you how great they were. If they never touched a drop of anything stronger than a vanilla milkshake...
They might have never been able to hit a ball. No, maybe they couldn't have hit a ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. History may be a little different.
Anyway, guys, this year, I want to go to the Minnesota-Green Bay game in Minnesota.
So in Minnesota.
Anybody out there who has any clue as to how I can get tickets.
Oh, and here, Bill, I thought Pat was going to invite us to go with her and Dave to
Minnesota.
Thought
she was, too. I was waiting for an invite.
I'd
go home and ask my wife for permission.
Well, if you guys can find tickets, you're more than welcome. Actually, in September, it's a beautiful time of year. I hate the team, but I really do want to see their new stadium. Apparently, that stadium
looks
is unbelievable.
Like one of the most beautiful pieces of architecture around. I've seen it on TV, and if you go to the Vikings website, you can do like the virtual tour around it. Boy, it's nice.
And you know what? I I regret now. I think I wanted to put a bet on the Vikings when I was in Vegas in March, but they were not prohibitive favorites. I think the Patriots are 2-1. I think the Vikings are 2-1 also. I mean, having added Cousins to that team, they have a very good chance of getting out of the NFC.
Well, you know, John, you don't even have to go to Vegas to place those bets anymore. You can do it right here in New Jersey.
Let's go to AC and place a bet.
You might not even have to do
that. You might be able to go online.
Yeah, you might be able to go direct down the street and place that bet.
How about that?
And you know, I think it's a good idea. I think if people want to gamble, let's regulate it, let's tax it, because we are New Jersey, the state that loves to tax anything. If we can find it,
we'll tax it, right?
And, you know, let's drive organized crime out of business.
Do you think it really will?
Well, that's the speculation, because obviously if you bet illegally, you don't have to report that money for income tax purposes.
Yeah, but on the other hand...
Plus, I think the new system, when you place the bet here, there is a service fee mm-hmm. for that bet, associated with that bet. I think it's like $2 or something like that. But the state will make like $2 on every bet. Plus, they will get the income tax. So even if you come in from out of state, I haven't heard that talked about. But what I believe is going to happen, if you come into New Jersey, you go to the shore for the summer, and you put some bets, you win some money, New Jersey's going to give you a 1099.
Well,
and they should tax everybody out of state.
Why
more
not?
And us less.
Why not?
Why not? I've always been for raising the tolls.
What do they do
the
with casino winnings?
Just for a reason.
Casino money?
Yeah, casino winnings.
Well,
what do they do?
I think with casinos, Pat, it's anything over $2,500. If you went on a slot machine, and I think it's more than $2,500, the light goes on and a service person comes out and they write you up and you get a 1099 with that.
So, in fact,
I think they deduct 20% of the tax, too.
So anyone, no matter if they live in New Jersey or elsewhere.
Right. For a large win like that, you would be declaring that. Yeah, you have to.
Well,
and then you get to, of course, take off your losses. No,
yes.
You do get to deduct
you
can
deduct
your
losses
off
to the extent
of
winnings. That's correct.
Yeah. So where are we going to find ourselves going to sports betting and here in beautiful New Jersey? Racetracks like Monmouth Park, I know we'll have it. I think this is the new Bankruptcy Lawyer Benefit Act.
The Bankruptcy Lawyer Full Employment
Act, right.
Act, right, Bill?
And I will tell you that I enjoy placing a small bet every now and then, too. But I see some people really get into it over their heads.
So, Bill, when these gamblers, sports gamblers, file bankruptcy and they do, what is it, a 341A hearing, the examination, and the trustee asks them about, well, how did you come to lose your assets? That the bettor will say, but sorry, it was a sure thing, right? I had a hot tip, and it was a sure thing.
You know, the New York Mets always will disappoint. That's the answer to that question. How'd you get into financial difficulty? Do you follow the Mets?
You know, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but you may remember that one of my very favorite shows as a kid was Bewitched. Because I was a big Elizabeth Montgomery fan. Okay, Mia Farrow, Allison McKenzie, which is my daughter's named after, and Elizabeth Montgomery, my oldest daughter, right? Elizabeth Montgomery, to this day, I think she is a great actress. So anyway, she had her mother on the show was in Dora, right? And that was Agnes Moorehead.
Agnes Moorehead.
And they were, on one of the shows, they were talking about, you know, people who had spells against them, bad spells, and they had this big book. You know, they would blink their eye, and boom, this book would come. And I remember this line from the show, and they were talking about so and so had bad luck, and is going to have bad luck. Let's put their name in the book. And Dora says, "Yeah, right next to the New York Mets." That was 1965.
John, I cannot believe that on the air you are admitting to having watched such an inane program.
Bewitched was delightful. That was a wonderful show.
Pat, there's no accounting for taste. There are plenty of people out there that like me.
Well,
at least three. But moving right along, folks, I'm very interested in your take on New Jersey sports betting. Do you think it's going to help our revenue problem? Do you think it's going to create more social problems than it's there to cure?
Well, you know, this is not the time or place, but knowing a few lawyers who were also gamblers, as you know, one of the worst problems because most of us handle trust money. And, you know, that's a
big temptation.
It always is.
If you're a compulsive gambler, so yes, of course there are going to be some problems. And, you know, I don't judge what others do, but I hope that they understand that there's going to have to be some more treatment programs. And that's the difficulty,
Well, you know? that's true. When you and the other thing I thought was very interesting was Major League Baseball had its grubby, greedy handout for what was called an integrity fee that they wanted tacked onto each bet of $1. And I was absolutely astonished that they would come up with that. But then I said, wait a minute, that's baseball. It's their job
to
figure
out. Wait a minute, baseball wants an integrity fee? That's one of the biggest oxymorons I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Who's getting this integrity fee?
Well, Major League Baseball itself. Major League Baseball. So the owners were going to get these integrity fees to preserve the integrity of the game.
Gaming industry
How does that have anything to do with integrity of the game?
It's just a way to grab more money.
It was grab more money. Do you really think somebody making $2 million a year as a utility infielder for the San Diego Padres, a team that is bumping along in the cellar, is going to jeopardize $2 million and throw a game? You don't have
First
to
of
pay.
All, Perfect. Baseball, I don't know how you really would throw a game because there's 18 players on the field.
Right, number one.
I suppose if you were a pitcher, you could. You could throw a fat pitch anytime.
But on the other hand, who's going to do that and become the next Mitch Williams?
Or the next Pete Rose.
Or the next Pete Rose. No one's going to do that. So,
Cincinnati Reds.
But he, of course, obviously had a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Pete Rose had a lot of problems.
Pete Rose had a lot of problems, yeah.
You have an interesting social development.
Oh, and by the way, that is one of the things I'm going to do. With Allison moving to Cincinnati, I'm going to be going to a Reds game sometime soon and a Bengals game. She was there last November.
Allison is moving to Cincinnati?
Allison is rotating to Cincinnati. Well, that's where she's going to live. Her office will be across the river in Covington, Kentucky. And she'll be living in Cincinnati and has promised me, Dad, if you come to Cincinnati, I'll take you to a baseball game. So we've certainly done hundreds of games at Fenway Park. So some one of these days I'll be headed to Cincinnati.
Well, that's an exciting thing, Cincinnati.
Which, by the way, is about an hour and a half from Akron. I just happen to know that obscure piece of trivia. Yeah. But go on, Bill.
But Cincinnati's a quick flight out of Philly on Southwest or out of Newark on United. It's real easy to get to, and it's an hour and a half each way. So, but the airport's in Covington, Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Bengals play north of Cincinnati, though, don't they?
I think the stadium is north, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know where the Reds play.
What did they used to have? Riverfront or Three Rivers was in Pittsburgh, right?
Pittsburgh, right.
Riverfront, I think, is Cincinnati.
Maybe they are right on
the river. I think it's right there.
Yeah, maybe they are right on the river, but I've always thought Cincinnati.
See, are we now a travel program, guys, or a
sports
program? Hey, sports
guys are here to educate.
You really want us to talk about Egypt playing Argentina?
I'm gonna play some spots from our sponsors.
I think that's a great idea.
I think that'll entertain the crowd more than we are.
This program is disintegrating fast.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey guys, we're back. We're talking about what other games we would like to see other than our own team.
Well, we're going to go to Las Vegas and see the Las Vegas Raiders play whoever. I mean, I will certainly, the first time the Giants go to Las Vegas, I think I'm going to be there.
John, you should buy tickets. You should buy four tickets.
We should. We should.
We all should.
Let's
buy
form
tickets.
An LLC. We'll buy a bunch of tickets and we'll sell. We'll broker those tickets.
Like season tickets. But
and if
the
any
is
Packer, Giants, or Eagle games, we'll just keep those tickets.
Exactly.
The problem is it possible to buy season tickets?
Because they were saying out there that those tickets are going to get all grabbed by the casinos.
By the casinos. But you know something? I think the management of the team and the league are going to keep the casinos from gobbling them all up.
Hopefully that'll be the case.
Well, but wait a minute. Aren't the Oakland season ticket holders, aren't they going to
get
first?
Yeah, but how many Oakland fans from Oakland are going to...
Well, no, but I would think from an investment standpoint, they will definitely buy up the tickets. I mean, if I had season tickets for Oakland...
Mm-hmm.
And they were moving to Las Vegas. It just seems to me
that's a great
that
thought.
I would absolutely.
Now, you are absolutely correct. I'd buy up all the Raider season tickets I could and then parlay them into something in Vegas. You're right. Assuming that season ticket holders are going to be given the right to buy season tickets.
Well, don't
tickets
you think
Vegas.
They will?
I would think so. In fact, there's probably something somewhere that says they have to, would be my guess.
I would think so.
Yeah, I would think they would have to honor
I mean, I'm
that.
Sure that it's not like Green Bay, but I mean, Green Bay, people are fighting over the next generation.
Sure,
who
Giant
gets the
tickets are willed. And the Giants are one of the few teams who will, because I've written it in wills before, bequest of my New York Football Giants season tickets to my grandchild, whatever. They will honor that and will. The Giants will. Other teams
will.
Well,
won't. The Packers...
I
don't know how they do it, but it definitely goes down to the next generation. But the problem is, you know, big families in Wisconsin,
You
might have four tickets and then have eight kids. And it's very interesting.
Have to share them.
How they share them.
That is pretty good. You know?
Who gets them during hunting season? or when, you know, who gets the great games? And honestly, then the whole families will go and... They'll have a television out in the parking lot. So the people that can't get in get to sit and watch the game on television for that time. Anyway, I guess it's just about to be summer, so it's hard for us to really think about football, except for those of us who are just, that's all we think
except
about.
Except for those of us who are diehards, right?
And Bill, so what's going to happen in the boating world?
What's going to happen in boating? Well, I'm not going to be boating this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm going to be going out to meet my new nephew. My nephew and his wife have a three-week-old baby boy.
Congratulations, Bill.
Thank you.
That's a great Father's Day gift for them.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it a grandnephew. So we're going there tomorrow for a barbecue and do some swimming in various family pools and hopefully... get back here Sunday in time for me to catch a night baseball game or two.
Oh, I thought you were going to say get back in Sunday so you can get down to the boat.
I'd love to, but you know, it's Carlisle, Pennsylvania is 3 hours out, 3 hours back, 2.5 the way I drive, according to my wife. But you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Carlisle, that's talking about you know, some great sports came out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Pop Warner.
Right.
Really?
Jim Thorpe?
Well, Jim Thorpe because the Carlisle Indian Boarding School. And Thorpe was probably, some people say, the best athlete
greatest
ever.
Of all time, yeah.
Of all time. And, you know, and the fact that Pop Warner baseball, we still talk about.